As COVID-19 continues to spread across the globe, things have ticked up here in America as well. As of Friday, the number of cases stood at 1,629 with 41 deaths. 46 states and the District of Columbia have reported cases, and over 1,300 of those cases are still under investigation as to how the person got infected. State governments have taken it upon themselves to start ramping up their own healthcare toolkits in order to treat a growing crisis, while the federal government, up until recently, was employing the "I have a dream" approach to the issue. But after weeks of negative press, the federal government is finally beginning to wake up and move to support the efforts of local officials. The NBA has shut down. The NCAA has shut down. School districts have shut down. Universities have shut down. And I'm playing. They've all closed or shut down. But in any case, the caps on group sizes have been imposed across the country. And in this episode of Lessons from the Screen, we're going to be looking at the two pieces of legislation pushed by the federal government, some myths that are popping up, and our thoughts in general as we give another update on COVID-19. This is Lessons from the Screen. How you doing? And welcome back to this episode of Lessons from the Screen, the show where we give you a review of whether or not any information that you can get from any particular screen of any particular kind is worth your time. We waste our time, our energy, and our brain power so that you don't have to. And as always, you are welcome. You hit a new intro. You know I'm always playing around with stuff. We're going to see how long it lasts. Right now, it's okay, but we'll see. You know these things usually don't last very long, but I'm always playing around with stuff. So let's get back into it. Lessons from the Screen is sponsored by, you already know, because it's been the same since we did it, PAXINC.org, PACTSINC.org. PAX Inc. is a Black activist advocacy and think tank organization with the purpose of increasing the quality of life for Black people in America through education, culture shift, and economics. You can check them out. Please do so. Go to the website. They got a plethora of information. The Learning Center is up there. Volunteer, take a survey, tell a friend to tell a friend, read a book. There's just a bunch of stuff on the website and a bunch of different ways you can help out. So go on over there and help out, because they're doing whatever they can to help out the rest of us. And without further ado, we're going to jump into this show on COVID-19. Actually, before we do that, I got a couple other things I want to speak on really, really quickly. And then we are going to jump in on COVID-19. So I got two things we're going to mention really, really quickly. The PAX Inc. Congressional Report Card is out and available on the website, www.paxinc.org, PACTSINC.org. If you go on over to the Learning Center and the political area, there's a drop down tab for the politics, and it'll be right there. There's also a big huge button on for it right on the home screen of the webpage, so you should definitely go and check that out. I'm going to do a show on that. That show was supposed to come out this week, but the coronavirus stuff, I felt like that was something that needed to be talked about. But I still, of course, wanted to mention the report card, because I do think it's very important, and I think it's a vital tool that can be used for assessing how friendly a particular candidate has been, or a particular politician in Congress has been towards the Black community, based on their votes, not on their rhetoric. Rhetoric plays no part in this. The other thing I wanted to mention was this is actually show number 101. The 100th episode that we did was actually the episode that I did down in Florida recently when we went down there March 7th, I believe that was, for the live podcast, the live show. There was performances. Myself, Shelby from Shelby's World was there. Joseph Ward from The Fix was there. And Enigma Seth Hour from The Enigma Seth Hour was also there. We had live performances from Miss Dice, who blew she blew it off the hinges, got emotional in her performance, which actually added a lot more energy. It was a very positive performance. Enigma performed as well. And we also had a performance from Mike Jack Music. So it was a great show. It was great to get down there and spend time with people. And we had a lot of fun. The event, you know, sold out. And we did our thing. It was a small room. We kept it intimate. And I feel like everybody left happy with the time they spent with us. It went a little long. We were supposed to end it at 2 hours, but we ended up going about three. But it was a good, fun 3 hours. And even after it was over, lots of members of the audience hung around just to chop it up with us. And so it was nice. It was very nice. We are going to be doing more of those, and we're going to be traveling with those. I had a nice DJ there that we had a host. So that's something that's going to be moving forward. But that was actually the 100th episode of Lessons from the Screen. So, you know, show your boy some love on that. And now, without further ado, we're going to jump right into COVID-19. So the government is finally trying to get his act together. After 3 months of doing absolutely nothing but talking and hoping that it would go away. Literally. I'm not even exaggerating or making a joke. I'm not good at those anyways, but I do try often. But I'm not doing that this time. Like, they literally were just saying that it's going to go away and everything will be better. That was these literal words that came out of the president's mouth. But it didn't go away. And things have not gotten better. And so the U.S. government has finally acknowledged that the coronavirus that causes COVID-19 is something that needs to be dealt with. And as the federal government lurches into action, hoping to support the actions of many state governments that have already started moving, we have a second piece of legislation coming through Congress and the declaration of a national emergency. Now, the first bill that came through was an appropriations bill that allotted $8.3 billion in emergency spending for the coronavirus and was signed into law March 6th. And that was actually the day before my 100th episode. Yay! Anyways, roughly $7 billion more than Trump asked for, because, you know, he asked for like $1.5 billion, I think it was. And so some brief details about that package. It included $61 million for additional salaries and expenses for FDA personnel related to the coronavirus. It contained $20 million for the disaster loans program account in the SBA. Helping small businesses with a financial hardship caused by COVID-19. It contained $2.2 billion for CDC-wide activities and programs to support, prevent, prepare, and respond at home and abroad to, you know, COVID-19, the coronavirus. And of that $2.2 billion, $950 million, and it's amazing how much money the government has to throw around. And you know what's even more amazing, though, is even with them throwing around all this money, they still ain't throwing around Mike Bloomberg money. That's ridiculous how much money people have nowadays. $8.3 billion used to be a lot of money. I mean, it's still a lot of money, but now there are individuals out there, multiple individuals out there that could have in some capacity written a check for this as a private citizen. That's just ridiculous. Anyways, $950 million is provided for grants, cooperative agreements with local governments for activities related to the coronavirus. $475 million has to be allocated within 30 days of passage. And since it was signed March 6th, they have until, you know, roughly April-ish, April 5th, April 6th, roughly, to get that done. All preparedness grants have to be 90% funded by this fund, and at least $40 million of this fund has to go to the Native Tribal Governments and Native Tribal Health Organizations, and at least $300 million has to go to Global Disease Detection. And those last four numbers are those last five numbers, 300 million, the 40 million, the 475 million, and the 950 million, all come out of that $2.2 billion. So that's not in addition to $2.2 billion. But in addition to the $2.2 billion, there's also $836 million for the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases for prevention, preparation, and coronavirus response, both home and abroad. And of that money, $10 million has to go to worker-based training on prevention of coronavirus spread. And then there's $3.1 billion for the Public Health and Social Services Emergency Fund to prevent, prepare, and respond. And these funds will be used for things like developing a vaccine, purchasing necessary medical equipment, and increasing the U.S. capacity for medical manufacturing. And when vaccines and other therapeutic measures are developed, these funds will be used to purchase them. These funds can also be used to construct and refit structures for medical manufacturing. And then there's $264 million for diplomatic programs within the Department of State's Administration of Foreign Affairs to cover coronavirus-related expenses and evacuation. And this also includes consular and border security programs. There's $1 million for the Inspector General to be used for oversight of these appropriated funds. $435 million for global health programs under bilateral economic assistance banner, under the bilateral economic assistance banner, $200 million of which at least has to be transferred to the emergency reserve fund. Then there's $300 million to the international disaster assistance fund, $250 million to the economic support fund, and $100 million to me because I'm just amazing. I mean, duh. Like I don't even know. Why, you know, they didn't just give all $8.3 billion to me, because I could, like, fix all of this right now. And I'm willing to actually do it for free. You know, so government officials, if you're listening, holler at your boy. Anyways, all funds appropriated in this bill are also allotted to restore programming funds redirected before the passage of this bill to the coronavirus. And that funds were redirected from mental health services and substance abuse programs, amongst other programs. I felt like those two were significant because if you've listened to this show, especially when we have Black Mental Health Awareness Month, and just sometimes at random, as a psychology dude, I talk about mental health a lot. So anytime money is redirected from mental health programs and services, you know, I pay attention to that. And substance abuse, in my opinion, is another form of mental health issue. It's another type of mental health problem. And I view substance abuse programs as working hand in hand with mental health programs. So anytime money is diverted again from a mental health program, and in this case, it was diverted twice because I consider mental abuse programs as being a part of mental health services, then, you know, I'm like, yo, what the hell is going on here? But those funds were rediverted from those programs into coronavirus programs. Now, these funds can also be the appropriated funds that I was talking about earlier can also be used to appoint new positions with regards to the coronavirus and for contracting out with individuals and organizations. The plan also requires a detailed report of spending for to be created within 30 days of passage. And that's, again, that's about April 5th or whatever. And the Congress be updated on spending of appropriated funds every 60 days until the end of the fiscal year, which is, I believe, the end of September for the U.S. government. Contractual obligations that don't exceed $5 million don't have to be listed out. But anything more than that does have to be listed out. And a strategic plan has to be developed within 15 days and presented to the Appropriations Committee. And that's also required as a stipulation of this appropriations bill. And that is actually coming due here shortly. That is, let me do my math. That's what, March 21st? So that's next week. The week after next, that's Saturday. So they'll probably give them till Monday before they decide they ain't gonna do shit about not getting no report. But anyways, Now, here's the deal with this, and you can color me stupid if you like. That's fine. I accept that because, you know, to some of you, I am stupid. But when I added up all of the spending allotted in this bill, it only came up to $7.4 billion, roughly. So I guess I missed over something. I went back through it a couple times because I didn't actually go through like a synopsis or a summary from somebody else's interpret. Like I actually tried to, and it's the same whenever I read these, summaries of these bills on this show. I actually try to read the actual text of the legislation so that I can formulate my own opinion. And that's why sometimes my opinion is a little off because I don't necessarily have knowledge base of someone that studies policy and has a more thorough understanding. But you know, I'm getting there, and I feel like I'm intelligent enough to still have an opinion and share it, as long as I let you know that it's my opinion. And I do say that often. This entire show is my opinion, and when it's not my opinion and it's a fact, then you know it's a fact because of the way I say it. Anyway, what was I? But I only came out to $7.4 billion. So either I missed something or they trying to pull a fast one, or I'm not sure what's going on, because it seems to me that $1 billion is unaccounted for. And that is enough money for anybody to be like, hold up, wait. So for those of you that want to know exactly where this thing is so that you can find it and let me know if I'm tripping or not. Maybe I missed a line where it said $1 billion allotted here. But what you're going to be looking at is it's going to be a House resolution, or actually it'll be H.R. 6074, House Resolution 6074, Coronavirus Preparedness and Response Supplemental Appropriations Act of 2020. And I will probably actually link to this this GovTrack report with the text and all of that in the show. So you, if you're listening to this show and you go over to the notes, there should be a link for that in the notes. If you're on the Freedom Train website listening in or on the Freedom Train app, I know that those have notes. But if you're listening through one of the gazillion other podcast distributors out there, go to Freedom Train website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. It'll be there. That's all I can tell you. I don't know what else you want from me, bro. Look, sis, you can get mad all you like. It is what it is. So that's what it's going to be. But with that being said, the bill also allows for Health and Human Services to waive certain restrictions regarding telehealth services during the coronavirus emergency. These restrictions may remote access to healthcare services through things like video calling impossible under most scenarios for patients with Medicare or Medicaid because the government wouldn't pay for it. So they lifted these restrictions. So now telemarketing or telehealth services and remote services, remote access to healthcare is now more readily available for those dealing with COVID-19. And while the spending bill was nice, it is nice. It's large. Probably should be large. And I do have an issue because there isn't a lot of real guidance on what this money is going to be used for. Because saying that it's going to be used for prevention, preparation, and, you know, that all of them had the same, literally the exact same thing. Prevention, preparation, and response to COVID-19, both foreign and domestic, like that is a hell of a lot of wiggle room to do whatever you want. So I will be interested in seeing if the reports that are asked for in this appropriations bill are actually created, because that'll be interesting for me if they're, you know, to read through. And that should be interesting for all of us to read through, because this is your tax dollars at work, and $8.3 billion is life-changing for everybody but Mark Bloomberg, Jeff Bezos, you know all of those white guys. It's big money for everybody else. It's even big money for Oprah and Alex Smith and the wealthiest of the wealthy black people. It's still big money for them as well. So But yeah, you should definitely go and check that out. And I will be checking that out as well and keeping my ear to the streets. You know what I'm saying? So I can be the plug for the information, you feel me? But moving forward, we don't really know what this money is going to be used for. But it was quickly followed up by another bill. And now this bill was passed through the House of Representatives on Friday, the Friday that just passed. In the wee hours of Saturday morning, it was all over the news talking about it. And that would be Saturday, March 14th. So it was passed on the 13th, I do believe, of March. And what we're looking at here is H.R. 6201. Are the Families First Coronavirus Response Act, and it was voted up in the House. 40 Republicans voted against it, and I believe there were 20 other politicians, a mixture of Democrats and Republicans, that did not vote. And the one independent House of Representative member voted present, which in my opinion is the same as voting no. It's just a cute way of doing it. But in anyways, and the reason I say that is because votes pass in Congress based on the amount of yes votes. When you vote present, your number is still counted towards the necessary minimum amount that a vote has to get. So if it has to get 2/3 of the members of the House to vote yes for it, and you vote present, you elevate the amount of votes that are required to get to 66%. Whereas if you don't vote at all, or you don't participate, or you're not in the chamber, your number doesn't count. That's a true neutral vote. So in my opinion, voting present is a way of voting no without actually saying I vote no. So it's a real cute political way of showing your ass without getting spanked for it. I don't tolerate that. Let's spank these people, man. I don't know what these people is thinking about. But in any case, so moving forward, that bill was 40 Republicans voted no. It was overwhelmingly supported by everybody, by all of the Democrats, with the exception of a few. None of them voted no. But a few of them did not vote at all. So there's a lot in this thing. And it hasn't been voted on by the Senate yet. It's going to be picked up by the Senate soon, probably early next week, which means there's a chance it'll get signed into law the same week, later this week, because they've been moving pretty quickly on this. And President Trump is pretty anxious to get to shed this negative view, this attack that he's been enduring because of his handling of COVID-19. And he's also very interested in getting the stock market to rebound, because he's been using the stock market for the last 3 years as a way of saying, look at me, I'm doing a good job. Even though we all know, we all should know at least, that the president actually has very little to do with what's going on with the stock market. But that's neither here nor there. So there's a lot in this thing, including a second appropriations bill, nutrition waivers, emergency paid leave, a boost to unemployment insurance, I'm sorry, paid sick leave, and protections for healthcare workers. And these are just some of the things that are included. But since it hasn't been voted on by the Senate yet, I'm hesitant to get into the details of it, because those details could and probably will change. But I will give some brief things that I think are important. So as for the appropriations part of it, $1.3 billion in total funding here from what I could add together. And for starters, it gives out $500 million to the WIC program. Then there are $400 million to the Commodity Assistance Program, which is kind of an umbrella program that provides food resources to people. And this also means that this appropriations package also opens the door for school closures. If public schools are closed for more than 5 consecutive days because of a public health emergency like the coronavirus, Households with at least one child who is eligible for free or reduced lunch can receive assistance not less than the value of meals at the free rate that they would have received had schools not been closed down for each eligible child. And the assistance can be provided through an EBT card system. Now, what that means is there was a lot of people worried about, well, what about the kids who only get one meal a day or who only get their meals while they're at school because their parents, their family, whoever's taking care of them doesn't have the resources to provide food at home. And that is actually, and sadly, unfortunately, a lot more common than a lot of people give it credit for. But what this basically says is that if this thing passes in this form untouched, that those families will be eligible for assistance in providing and getting meals for their family, for themselves, so that those children will still eat and their parents will eat and everybody will eat and everybody will be happy. Anyways, then there's $100 million for food and nutritional assistance to U.S. territories, $5 million for the Department of Labor to pay for sick days due to the coronavirus, $250 million to Health and Human Services for delivering nutritional aid to elderly populations. And there are also stipulations made that within 30 days of enactment, all agencies receiving funding through this bill will need to provide a detailed report on the anticipated use of all fundings. And outside of additional appropriations, the food stamp program has opened up a bit, allowing those who need to receive additional benefits to receive additional benefits if necessary. The new temporary standards for healthcare workers are designated to be created by companies at the direction of OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Agency. And these standards are meant to keep workers safe, as well as establishing protocol for if a healthcare worker gets sick. Now, keeping workers safe means not only creating new protocol, but it also means providing safety equipment and gear for the employees. And that's all going to be on the dime of the companies, although I'm sure they'll get a grant to help pay for that, because that is a part of the appropriations package as well. And a final point that I think is significant is that the bill allows for free testing whenever the hell we decide to start testing motherfuckers seriously anyways. But the bill still has to get through the Senate unchanged, so I'm going to wait for that before I really dive into it. Now, this administration has received a lot of bad press for the way it's handled the coronavirus. And a lot of that is justified. We've known about the coronavirus since January, and nothing happened until March. And that is completely unacceptable, especially once it left China and started finding its way into European countries and started finding its way into other Asian countries, started finding its way into various places all over Eurasia. And we still sat back and did nothing. And even once it got here, we didn't do anything. I know there was a temporary ban put in place early on to stop travel from China. But the fact of the matter is, by the time that ban was put in place, the virus had already left China. So it was doing something for the sake of doing something. And then, of course, you know, there's that other angle of China and America not necessarily being on the best of terms right now, so taking it as an opportunity to kind of poke at China a little bit while they're in the midst of this situation. But we did absolutely nothing. And even here on the Freedom Train, we talked about this thing back in January as something to watch out for. And the concern for me then was that it would go underreported, under the radar, and then Chinese New Year was happening around about that time. And I was worried about everybody going into China and leaving with the virus. And Chinese New Year is a huge global celebration where people come from all over the planet to China to be a part of the festivities. And that didn't happen, but it didn't need to happen because the virus still found its way all over the world in fairly short order. And a lot of that is largely due to the lack of seriousness that most countries have taken towards this thing until it's on their door, knocking their elderly and their people with pre-existing conditions and all those other people down. And then they decide they want to do something after people start dying, which is utterly ridiculous for me. And is also interesting, I'll make this as a point of note, that the director of the World Health Organization is an Ethiopian, and all of a sudden the World Health Organization no longer has credibility or standing with the European nations. But that's neither here nor there. I might be jumping to conclusions with that. But the fact of the matter is, those other countries, South Korea, Italy, China, various other countries have taken this thing very seriously now that the death tolls have started rising, and they have been testing in massive quantities, and they have been quarantining and isolating and doing what they can to protect their population. And as a result, what was spiraling out of control in those countries now seems to be coming more into control. Meanwhile, the U.S., who is just seeing the early stages of our fight with this virus, have not learned from any of those other examples of nations that didn't take it seriously until people were dying in large quantities. And to me, that is mind-boggling, absolutely mind-boggling, that even after people died, when it got here, we still didn't do anything. And now we're at over 1,600 people infected. And the honest truth there is, we honestly don't know how many people are infected because there aren't tests. There isn't massive testing going on right now. In South Korea, they're testing 10,000 people a day. And in America, we haven't tested 10,000 people at all. And we're a nation of 350 million people. So it really would be nothing for this thing to spread around and end up infecting a couple million people, if not tens of millions of people, before this thing is all said and done. And all of that will be, in my opinion, almost entirely due to the slow, lethargic handling, getting up to speed, gearing up, taking this thing seriously of the federal government. And I know those things didn't grammatically go together, but you know what I mean. Get off me. But anyways, the way this thing has been handled has been a disaster. It has been a complete and total clusterfuck. There's no other way to say it. And I'm not even going to put the blame solely on Trump, because I'm also looking at healthcare officials and government employees and career services employees and all these other people who know better, who weren't doing better. Yes, Donald Trump, the administration, has been defunding the CDC, the FDA, and various other organizations tasked with high levels of responsibilities during epidemics and pandemics and national emergencies of this kind. That is true. But it's not just about that, because nobody in this administration or even in government on a federal level seems to have the balls to tell this man that these things are bad ideas, that we need to be moving this way. To even tell this man that the advice that you're giving to the American people is not good advice. Telling people to go to work when they're sick, that it's okay to go to work when they're sick, that's not good advice. The lack of intestinal fortitude to actually say what needs to be said to the people that it needs to be said to, that's present now, is alarming and discouraging. And it really, really, that's the part that really upsets me. We've known what Trump was since the 70s and 80s. He hasn't changed. He was a showboat / idiot then. He's a showboat / idiot now. So there's nothing new happening with Trump. He was the dude we laughed at. The dude that had an absurd amount of money for no reason, but we never really knew how much money he had. And he's president, and he's still that exact same dude. So at this point, I'm not even frustrated with him and the things he does. I'm more frustrated with the people that are surrounding him that are supposed to be holding him accountable and that are supposed to have the balls to say what needs to be said. So without testing, we don't know where we are. And the other problem is the CDC and the government and the healthcare industry as a whole, as of this moment, has credibility issues. So I was thinking about this, even if they come up with a vaccine, only 51% of Americans actually believe that vaccines are safe and effective. Think about that. Only 51% of Americans think that vaccines are safe and effective. Now, there's another 31% that think that the benefits of vaccines outweigh the potential risk of vaccine side effects. But everything beyond that is just downhill. So the anti-vax movement is picking up steam. And a lot of Americans feel like, and it's growing, that number is growing, a lot of Americans feel like vaccines are a problem. So even if you come up with a vaccine for this thing, how are you going to convince people to take it? How are you going to convince? Because in this situation, if everyone doesn't take it, then the entire nation is still exposed. It's still at risk because there are people out there that can't get the vaccine. There are people out there that are too young, too sick, have otherwise compromised immune systems for whatever reasons that just can't get vaccines. And those people rely on herd immunity in order to resist diseases that would otherwise be very harmful. But herd immunity only works when the herd is immune. If the entirety of the herd or as a larger percentage of the herd as possible is not immune, then herd immunity does not exist on a level that's significant enough to keep those people that can't get vaccinated for whatever reason from facing illness. So that's something else I was thinking about. And then, of course, there are a lot of theories going around about where this thing came from. Did it come out of a lab? Did the United States use it in a way trying to cripple the Chinese government, as has recently come out from a Chinese official is saying that maybe the U.S. government brought the virus to Wuhan? There are a lot of speculations and there are a lot of other things going on here, which kind of leads me into the next section of this show, where we talk about the last segment, actually, where we talk about some of the myths going around right now about COVID-19. So there are a lot of these things circulating right now. And when I say a lot, I mean a lot. I mean, it would be a whole show just to dig into all of these things the way I like to dig into things. And even with these ones that I am going to talk about, I'm not necessarily going to go into them in the level of detail that I otherwise would, because, you know, I like to keep this show under 40, 45 minutes, and we're already running a bit long here. And I know we don't have time limits. We can go as long as we want, but for the sake of respecting your time, I like to keep the shows brief. With that being said, the very first thing, and the first time I heard this, I believed it because it came from credible sources all over the place. And then I started trying to reach out to some of the people that I knew would know, because they work in these fields, in these areas where they would know. And I wasn't able to get in touch with all of them, but I was able to get in touch with enough of them and they to understand and to really believe that this is simply a myth. And the myth is that government officials, Pentagon officials, says that a lockdown is coming in 10 days. Now, what really clued me into this was the fact that everybody that talked to me about this said that they had a friend that worked in the Pentagon. Now, I don't know about you, but it's not a lot of people that work in the Pentagon. And I understand there's a significant amount of people that work in the Pentagon, but what I'm saying is there are 350 million people in America. For this thing to go down the way it's going down, everybody in my circle just about would have to have a friend in the Pentagon. And that's just not the case. It's just not. The wording of these messages is usually the exact same. I have a friend in the Pentagon who says that In 10 days, the United States is going to go into national lockdown the same way Italy is. It almost always starts with a friend in the that works in the Pentagon. But this friend is never named. I wasn't able to find any articles that sources, because if your friend is if everybody's friend is telling them, then why do none of the reporters who actually have sources in the Pentagon, why are none of them reporting on this? And I'm not saying that I'm right or I'm wrong. I'm just saying that it seemed at this point, it seems like a myth. And obviously, I think I'm right, but I could be wrong. But here's the deal. Where this comes from, in my opinion, is that everyone is saying that we are tracking exactly 10 days behind Italy. And they declare a national lockdown 4 or 5 days ago now, I think, maybe. And so if we are trailing roughly 10 days behind them and our rates do the same thing that their rates did, which our rates might actually increase faster because of our larger population. But anyways, if our rates do what their rates did and their country did what their country did, which was lock the country down in response to that, then it tracks and it follows that our country would do the same thing. But that would discount the differences in the leadership, the administrations that we're talking about. That would discount the difference in the size of the populations. That would discount so many other things. And that would also discount the mentality of the people in the nation. Could you imagine anybody telling Americans to stay inside their houses or to stay on lockdown? It's not going to go down the way you think it's going to go down. But to that, I had 4 people share this message with me today. And all 4 of them, even 2 days after first hearing the message, all of the messages still said, I have a friend at the Pentagon that says that in 10 days, the country is going to go into national lockdown. And these are all people that I consider intelligent, that I consider well-meaning, that are honestly just trying to spread along information that they think is credible so that their friends and family can be in a good position, taking care of themselves with resources and supplies in order to ride out the impending quarantine. But without an official source, I can't believe that. And we know how fast things travel on the internet and how fast things travel through text messages. So I just can't rock with that right now. Right now, that's not making a lot of sense. The fact that everybody seems to have a friend in the Pentagon, the fact that even though it's been 2 or 3 days, the message still that says in 10 days, and the fact that there is no real other information given outside of this text message. So you're just supposed to support to trust and lend credibility to whoever's on the other end of the text message. Whoever their friend might be. That doesn't work for me. I need more than that, which is why I tried to contact my own friends that work in those places, and I haven't been able to reach them, and the ones that I could reach were like, yeah, no, that's BS. So the next thing, buying products from China can transmit corona. Now, this is actually so silly, I did not even want to get into it. It reminds me of the people who are like, I'm not going to make homemade pork fried rice because it's a Chinese dish and it got corona on it. The recipe itself does not transmit corona. Like, I don't understand why that's even a thought for some people. Like, that is silly. That is utterly ridiculous that you could, in your own home, make rice, make pork, and put it together and then make fried rice. Get this shit out. Hey, man, it's 4 a.m. I'm tired. Anyways, that you can make pork fried rice and get coronavirus simply because the dish, in your mind, is a Chinese dish. Viruses don't work that way. Life doesn't work that way. Reality does not work that way. If something goes down somewhere else, you cannot get whatever is going down over there because you use things that they use in their culture. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, I don't even know how to simplify that or what to say to people that feel that way, other than we teach critical thinking on Tuesdays and Thursdays at the Y at McCrory. You should come and join us. Anyways, the next thing. Oh, and in addition to that, the idea that just buying product from China. Look, we know that the coronavirus can survive on surfaces for a couple hours to a couple days, depending on the surface. But the virus is not so strong that it could survive changes in altitude, changes in temperature, changes in air pressure, various different things being scraped and grinded on top of it. All of these things that are going to happen throughout as it transitions through the distribution networks from China to America. Not to mention that that's several days in and of itself. If you get a product from China, chances are it's not infected with corona. But even if it is infected with corona, guess what kills corona? Soap and water. Wash your hands, bathe your ass, bathe your packages if you must. And so the next thing I'm going to talk about here, there's another myth out there that saline nose rinse can prevent you from getting corona. Bleach and chlorine can also defeat corona. Now, one, the saline thing has been shown to shorten the duration of your colds, not to prevent you from getting them. And they don't even make the colds easier in the early stage, but there are some reports that the duration of a cold can be shortened with saline rinse, with nose rinses and stuff. Now, as for bleach and chlorine, hell, those things kill everything. You know what else they kill? You, if you ingest them to get rid of the corona. Like that's like saying, you know, the corona can't survive fire, so I'm gonna set myself on fire if I get it. Right. It's not smart. Anyways, the other thing here is I've been hearing from a lot of people talking about zinc. Now there are two things going on here. There are some people that say zinc is a boost to your immune system that can be beneficial in helping your body fight off the coronavirus. And there are other people out there saying that zinc is the cure and it can prevent you from getting it. Now, the latter people are wrong. Zinc does boost your immune system, and it, like the nose rinse, has been shown to decrease the amount of time that you spend suffering from a cold, sometimes cutting it in half from 8 days to 4 days. And colds and flus are in the coronavirus family, the same family that this COVID-19 comes from. So there is some truth to the fact that zinc will help. There are some studies that support that claim. But the other issue here with zinc is that your body only needs a small amount of zinc. It can handle elevated levels of zinc for a short duration of time, sucking on the zinc lozenge or something like that. But over a long period of time, zinc will mess you up. It lowers your cognitive functioning. It lowers your ability to think critically, and it impairs various other mental functions. Over time, if you take zinc for too long, if you treat it like Tylenol or whatever the case might be, and you're regularly sucking on the zinc lozenges or taking raw zinc pills or whatever the case you're doing, you will be messed up. So in that, it's one of those things where, you know, like with everything, there's a grain of truth to it, but it's been stretched beyond the range of what's reasonable, into the range of dangerous, which crosses into the range of outright lie. So the zinc thing, definitely go ahead and get into that if that's what you want to do. But be careful and be mindful of it as well. So, and like I said, there are several different people that have shared that with me. And that's been just over the past day or so. And they've come from various different angles. So the people that say that it can help you combat the coronavirus, there's evidence to support that. The people that say that it'll prevent you from catching it, or that it's a cure, stop it. Stop it. If it was a cure, you know what? I'm not even going to get into that. Just stop it, okay? Just stop it. But anyways, man, we're going to cut this here because I could go with these myths all day, like I said. And I was only supposed to do 3. I ended up doing 4. But it's real out here, man. Stay calm. Keep it together. Because when you panic, you make things worse for everybody, including yourself. So stay calm. Keep your wits about you. Take care of yourself. Take care of your family. And I will see you next week on the next episode of Lessons from the Screen.
Lessons from the screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious. And we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review. So you only spend time on the docs that you need to.
I want to thank you guys once again for listening to Lessons from the Screen. I want to ask you guys to go to, if you have an Android device, go to the Google Play Store, type in Freedom Train Radio. You'll see the logo of the train. Download the app, get the app. It'll keep you up to date on all of the shows and everything else that's going on here at the Freedom Train Network. Also, head on over to www.freedomtrainradio.com and check out all the shows. Leave comments, leave reviews. If you want to reach us or say anything to us, that's the best way to do it. Because if you just reach out through your social media, your a podcast listening app or YouTube or whatever, we don't check all of those things, but we do check the website. So go there. Also, I just want to thank you guys once again for tuning in, and see you next week. Let me know what you think about the show you just listened to. Let me know if you agree, disagree, you felt like I missed something, whatever it is, just holla at your boy, and I will see you next week or whenever the next show comes out. And if you are interested in sponsoring the show again, hit us up on the Freedom Train Radio website and let us know that you're interested in sponsoring a particular show or the entire network.